Thank you, Jerry. And the Blue Jays talk is upon us. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. We will see you and Joe tomorrow when the Blue Jays try to win this series. It's interesting. The Blue Jays start August with a loss. They started April with a win, May with a loss, June with a loss, July with a win. So they've kind of gone back and forth. This would indicate that they're going to start September with a win, which is lovely. And again, they're now 6.5 games back, and at least on my Twitter feed, people are falling all over themselves to dive off this Blue Jays bandwagon. I just want to let everybody know out there. There is a wonderful feeling. There is a wonderful energy. This is a really good team now. Troy Tulowitzki's here. David Price is here. All this good stuff. The Blue Jays are going to lose probably at least another 20 games from this point on. So you can't dive off the bandwagon and get really, really angry and upset with every loss. Losses are going to happen. And again, if they lose 20, that's 10 more a month in August and September. That's 2.5 losses a week. And if they do that, they still win 90 games and make the playoffs. So this was a great game against a great team. They had a 5-1 lead. They blew it. Yesterday, the Royals had two separate 3-run leads and blew them, and the Jays came back to win. This is what happens when great teams play great teams. You have great baseball games, and somebody wins and somebody loses. The Blue Jays were not going to run the table over the final 59 games of the season. Just so we're clear on that. To the phones we go, and Dave is in Ajax. You're going to lead things off. Welcome to Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for taking my call. Love the show. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon here, but I'm just, like, I'm never really a big fan of Gibby, even though I thought the last two games managed great. I thought one thing today, giving Tulowitzki the day off, I had no problem with. I think he needs it. They had a 5-1 lead. They had a bit of a cushion, but when it was 5-4 in the eighth and didn't have him in and Goins at second, I thought that one ball that got by Kawasaki, Goins gets that. They go to the top, bottom of the inning, down by a run. It may have made a difference. I just thought that kind of bit him.
No.
And I think
no.
I'm looking back at that. That's
all right, but just so you know, Ryan Goins doesn't get that ball. And I guess that's the most important thing. I was going to say the run scores anyway, even if he does. Even if Ryan Goins does get that ball, well, I guess Eric Hosmer is at second. But
that's right. It's 6-5.
Munenori Kawasaki dove for that ball, and even when he dove for it, it was still 10 feet away from him.
I watched that in slow motion. It just got by him. Goins doesn't even have to dive. It wasn't that. I just think Goins makes that play. I just think you got to put your team in a position. When you're in a position like that with a 1-1 game, you just put your best defense out there.
So you're suggesting that after Hosmer gets the single, it's 5-4, right? So you're suggesting 5-4. That in the seventh inning, after Goins bats, that you're not replacing Goins. So you're saying in the eighth inning with a 1-run lead, you just go to Tulowitzki on defense.
Tulowitzki, Goins up the middle. If something gets by them or an error is made, at least you did your best.
But I think that you have to give guys – I mean, Tulowitzki's a guy who's got a history of injury. I think people need days off. And I think that there's – I don't know if it's a hockey mentality or if it's everybody just remembers Cal Ripken. But there's not going to be a game that's unimportant for the rest of the season. And Tulowitzki's going to need his days off, and Martin's going to need his days off, and Donaldson may even need a day off here and there. You have to swallow it.
Oh, I agree with you. There's 60 days left. These guys at 20 mil a year still. I mean, it's left.
It has nothing to do with the amount of money they make.
Yeah, but if the day off, that was fine. I just thought that, you're up by one. You know what? Just get your defense out there in that case. But other than that, it was a great game, and I think the Jays are definitely going to be in the playoffs. But I just got to think that each game you got to just take, and you got that chance, just get your defense out there. So that was my point. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, I appreciate it. I think you just have to recognize that, and I know a lot of people don't. You have to recognize that in order to keep players healthy and in order to keep them as productive as possible, you have to give them time off. And I know Tulowitzki wound up pinch hitting in the bottom of the ninth inning. That was more an emergency thing. You've got him, you use him. You're down by a run in the ninth. I don't know that putting him in for defense, it never occurred to me that, yeah, this is a spot for Troy Tulowitzki here. One run game, eighth inning. You got to stick him in there for defense. In September, maybe the last couple of weeks, maybe. But even then, I think in the last couple of weeks in September in a race, he's not getting any days off. Munenori Kawasaki's not a bad second baseman. He's not a great second baseman. But for me, I don't see that as a strategic error at all. We will take more of your phone calls after the top of the hour. We got to let the network go, but the calls will continue until 5 o'clock Eastern Time. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It's a Honda postgame show. Blue Jays lose at 7-6 to the Royals. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Pitch on the way, cracked on the ground between third and short. That's a base hit through the left side. Revere picks it up. Kane's heading home. The throw comes to second. And Kansas City goes out in front 6-5.
RBI single for Eric Hosmer in a three-run top of the eighth. The Kansas City Royals beat the Blue Jays 7-6. They score three off Mark Lowe in his Blue Jays debut. Mark Lowe had given up four runs all season prior to today. He's on the hill, and the Blue Jays' 17th blown save of the season. The Kansas City Royals have 14. And the Royals take it 7-6. They can split with a win tomorrow. The Blue Jays, with R.A. Dickey pitching on short rest, have the opportunity to take the series against a team with the best record in the American League, still with the best record in the American League at 61-42. It wasn't going to be a straight line. The Blue Jays are not going to win every game the rest of the season. And this was a fantastic game. Yesterday was a fantastic game. And today, the Royals came out on top. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. It will be R.A. Dickey's seventh start on 3 days rest. He has not fared well in his career, starting on short rest, though, to be fair, I don't know how many of these starts were in his knuckleball days. So I'd like to investigate that before passing judgment. Regardless, you're looking at a 32-inning sample, so it doesn't really tell you much. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls at the top of the hour. Let's go to Phil in Burlington. Hey, Phil.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, go ahead.
Can you hear me, Mike?
I can. Go ahead.
Mike,
it seems you can't hear me. All right, well, Phil can't hear me, so we got to fix that. We'll put him back on hold, and while we figure things out with Phil, let's hear from the skipper. Why not? Yeah, you know what? We'll get to the phone calls after. We'll see if we can fix it with Phil. But right now, let's go to John Gibbons. Here's what the Blue Jays skipper had to say after this afternoon's 7-6 loss to Kansas City.
John, not too many teams have been able to do that to Mark Lowe. You guys saw him at his best kind of earlier or late last month. What did you see different from him tonight?
No, I mean, hey, that's his debut. You know, he came in, he's getting his feet wet in a one-run ball game. You know, he's had a hell of a year. That's not going to make or break his career in Toronto. You know, they got a heck of a ball club on the other side. You know, they're pesky. They put the ball in play. They got great speed. It's one of those games. I mean, it was really two good teams. Like I said yesterday, going at it. You know, then, of course, we bounced back with the home run by Batista, you know, off Wade Davis. That hasn't happened in a couple of years. And then Eddie almost got it, too. So we put the pressure on him in the ninth, you know, with Tulowitzki getting us on. And then Colabello, big hit. So we had our chances. And the guys keep pounding away. And, I mean, it was just another entertaining ball game like last night. We came up short today, but the guys keep battling. I know that.
And the one inning where the ball hits all, the error by Burley, and then it goes right beyond Bautista. I almost wonder, you're a little unlucky with that inning and kind of how it unraveled for you.
Well, I mean, that happens in baseball. Very rarely do you see that happen to Burley. You know, it wasn't like it was right back at him. You know, he had to come off the mound a little bit, and he, I don't know if he healed it or what, but, you know, he's won a few gold gloves, and, I mean, that's very, very rare. And then, of course, then Zobrist throwing the ball down the right field line. Yeah, they threw out some hits. They found some holes. That's part of hitting, you know, that's part of baseball. That's what good at-bats do for you. And then, you know, but he, you know, he got the big double play on Perez, and he came out and had a clean seventh. So I thought he was really good today, you know, that home run early to Zobrist, and he settled in and does what he always does.
You mentioned the entertaining games. I mean, imagine what a series potentially could be like against the Royals after a few games you've played against them already.
Well, I'd hope it'd get to that point. You know, that would be awfully nice. It's way too early for that, but... You know, they got the top team in the American League right now. That's they have good pitching. They got a great bullpen. They got great, you know, probably the most team speed in the league. They got the best defense in the league. So they're really good at winning one run games. You know, they can manufacture runs probably better than anybody in baseball. And so, you know, they can play a complete game. I like the way we look now. You know, with the additions, I think we're a much better team. And you know, these first three games have been good ball games. You know. Nice to come out tomorrow and finish this off. You know, R.A.'s coming back on a short day, so hopefully he's on.
Hopefully he's on indeed. And if not, the Blue Jays might score six or seven runs, which is kind of what happens with this team, though usually not when R.A. Dickey pitches. Although, the last time R.A. Dickey pitched, the Blue Jays scored eight runs. Jays lose 7-6 to the Kansas City Royals. There's the skipper, John Gibbons. The Blue Jays are now 3-1 since Troy Tulowitzki got here. They've never lost a game that he's started. And David Price will make his Blue Jays debut on Monday afternoon when the Jays open up a four-game series against the Minnesota Twins, the team that they are chasing for the second wild card in the American League. Once you catch them, you set your sights on the first wild card. Once you get there, you set your sights on the division. Or maybe you set your sights for the division now, shoot for the moon, and be satisfied with the stars. Though I don't know how many stars really there are in orbit between the moon and the earth. I have to get Neil deGrasse Tyson on that. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's try again with Phil in Burlington. Phil, can you hear me this time?
I can hear you.
All right, good. Go ahead.
Mike, can you hear me?
All right, Phil, I think you got to get yourself a new phone. Thank you for the call. Let's try again. Let's go to Glenn in Brecken. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Mike. First of all, I just comment. I agree that the Jays are not going to run the table, but this was a tough loss. When you have a 5-1 lead going into the sixth and 5-4 in late innings, you hope that you know, you have a better than average chance of winning that game. But the main reason why I called is an explanation for you of the recent roster moves. I can understand the Tapera move and the Carrera move, but why Valencia for assignment and Muninori up? Can you just give me your explanation on that?
Sure. First of all, though, I got to tell you, you're right. You have a much better than average chance of winning a game when you have a 5-4 lead into the eighth inning. And this year, the Blue Jays are now, with this loss, 44-5 when they lead after seven innings. So this is a very rare thing that happens, and it's why it's frustrating and unexpected. But you know what? The Kansas City Royals went into yesterday's game what was it, 47-2? Let me get the right number for you. Yeah, Kansas City Royals were 47-2 when leading after six innings yesterday, and the Blue Jays came back and beat them. So these things happen, and they're going to happen with when really good teams are playing really good teams. Doesn't make it any less frustrating, absolutely. And the fact of the matter is, you know, the new guy comes in. He comes in with an ERA of 1. He blows a save in his first opportunity. You can understand why some Blue Jays fans are going to start tearing their hair out. But again, you got to see the bigger picture. As far as the Valencia thing is concerned, I was very surprised by it too. Shocked, to be honest. And when I talked to Alex Anthopoulos, the rest of us, we all talked to Alex Anthopoulos about it this morning before the game. He said that they sat down and they looked and they figured Ben Revere is going to play every day. I think when they acquired Ben Revere yesterday, and this was a thing that was back and forth, roller coaster, is it dead, is it alive, is it happening, is it not, and they finally get it done like 40 minutes before the trade deadline, they're thinking Ben Revere is going to come here, he's going to play left field against right-handed pitching, and Danny Valencia is probably going to play left field against left-handed pitching because he hits them so well. They decided last night when Alex and Gibby sat down in the manager's office in a nice long chat about the roster and how they wanted it to look, that Ben Revere was going to play left field every day. Revere, actually, over the course of his career, has been a better hitter against left-handers than he has been against right-handers, even though he's left-handed, and he provides much better outfield defense than Danny Valencia. So when it comes down to, after making that decision, is two things, I guess. One, do you want to keep an eight-man bullpen? The Blue Jays decided that the answer to that question was yes, which also floored me. I don't know why that is. And two, once you decide that you want to keep an eight-man bullpen, does Valencia go or does Colabello go? Because one of them has to go. And they decided that Chris Colabello was the better fit. Don't know why. Danny Valencia certainly has a bigger track record than Chris Colabello. But Chris Colabello has made an impression, obviously, this year. He's gotten a lot of very, very big hits for the Blue Jays. So they decided Colabello is kept over Valencia. Also, Munenori Kawasaki comes up because the Blue Jays did not have a real backup middle infielder. I was surprised it was Kawasaki. I thought it might have been Ty Kelly. I thought it might have been Jonathan Diaz. Right-handed sticks. Kelly's a switch hitter because Ryan Goins is your second baseman hitting left-handed. They decided they wanted Kawasaki, who's got better big league experience and who is pretty much guaranteed to give you a good at-bat every time he comes to the plate, though he's unsuccessful more often than not. So that's your reasoning. For me, I thought last night that they would go to a seven-man bullpen. I thought that one or two of Tapera, Loop, or Schultz would go. But I'm guessing they decided they didn't want to go with one lefty in the bullpen. So keep Loop. And Bo Schultz has been really good, so they didn't want to let him go either. You keep the eight-man bullpen for a while and see how it shakes out. And that's the decision-making process.
Okay, but couldn't Valencia have stayed up? And as far as I think he could play some infield.
He can't play second base. Only in an emergency. Danny Valencia is not a middle infielder.
Okay, he can't. Okay, and just one other thing about the game tonight, and also like a comment about last night too, which
sure.
Obviously was a success, that it seems like over the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm not exactly sure, since Sanchez has come back, he's coming in the eighth and he's been lights out.
Yep.
And Osuna in the ninth. That formula has seemed to have worked pretty consistently.
Yep.
I'm not sure, I don't know how many pitches Sanchez pitched or Osuna pitched, but it was probably less than 10 each.
Last night it was 8-7.
Yeah, okay. So it seems like that formula has worked unbelievably well. Why go? I know that this was one poor performance, and let's not, burn low at the stake here or whatever, but it just seemed, with that formula working so successfully, why couldn't Sanchez and Osuna come in the eighth and ninth tonight?
Because they both pitched the eighth and ninth two games in a row, and I think that's also why neither of them pitched a second inning last night, even though they had low pitch counts and the game was still tied, and Sanchez could have come back out for the ninth, or Osuna could have come back out for the tenth, but I think they're still being very careful with both of them. Sanchez is just back off the DL. Osuna is not even 2 years removed from Tommy John yet, I don't think. could be wrong, but it's close.
And one final thing, Mike. One of the best parts of the game were you calling the home runs of Donaldson Bautista in the, I think it was the fifth inning.
It was the fifth inning.
Yeah, and that was just awesome. I love you behind the mic. Hope you can go on the road, and I just really, really enjoy you. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. I hope I can go on the road, too. We will see about that as this this season continues. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun, especially when exciting things happen like those back-to-back homers by Donaldson and Bautista. Look, the reason that Mark Lowe is here, the reason that the Blue Jays went and got Mark Lowe, and maybe even the reason that they kept Bo Schultz, is because you can't use Sanchez and Asuna every day. And today would have been 3 days in a row. They were willing to go back to Asuna. He was up in the bullpen in the ninth inning, or in the eighth inning if the Blue Jays had taken the lead. But they didn't want to go Sanchez 3 days in a row, and they'd prefer not to go Asuna 3 days in a row. So what you hope you can do is that if you've used Sanchez and Asuna and they're not available, you can use Lowe and Schultz and maybe Cecil late in games like that. That's why Mark Lowe's here. Mark Lowe did not make a good first impression on Blue Jays fans, to be sure. But Mark Lowe is having his career year. And if, you know what, if they give him another shot and he blows another save, if he struggles again, then they're deep enough that they can take him out of the picture and back him off and let somebody else have a try. But let's remember that Mark Lowe, again, came into this game with an ERA of 1. He had allowed 4 runs all year. He's having the season of his life. And it's not the worst idea in the world to ride it while it's going on. Dave is in Vancouver. Dave, Mike, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, my friend. I was going to say, astronomically speaking, I don't think the Jays have lost on a blue moon, as it was last night. But and Martin, you know, we're talking about Dickey on 3 days rest. Poor Martin with that nasty knuckleball. So it's a smart move to give him a day's rest. But, hey, you know, we've taken 2 out of 3 against the best team in the American League. And, again, you know, close game could have gone either way as it was last night. Entertaining as heck. I mean, that's what we want. And, you know, you mentioned about how KC is a great team. And our club, hey, we're great on paper, but it still comes down, even though, you know, and I think some of these moves have been brilliant. You bring in 3 All-Stars as positional players, plus you've got Price for a couple months. But you know, the bottom line is that this team still has to learn how to win. As I told you from day one, I'm excited if we make the playoffs this year, but I'm really excited next year with the younger arms, Stroman being back, et cetera, Sanchez probably going back to being a starter. So, you know, maybe we take the game tomorrow, but the key, I think, the whole thing, Mike, we got to start winning on the road. The difference between the Jays and Yankees this year, Yankees are, I think, around 500 on the road, maybe a little bit above, and we've had a lot of problems. Always enjoying the program, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Always appreciate your monologicness. I don't know that I buy the whole they need to learn how to win theory. I really don't. I think that, you know, did the Kansas City Royals need to learn how to win last year when they were 50-50? And wound up making an incredible run, a team that hadn't been in the playoffs and hadn't even been, you know, hadn't even had a sniff of anything with this core here. They didn't need to learn how to win. They got to Game 7 of the World Series. So I think that this is a really, really good team. And if Mark Lowe had had a typical Mark Lowe outing tonight, or if Mark Burley makes a play that he makes 1,000 times out of 1,500, then the Blue Jays are laughing. Now, that was Mark Burley's 9th error in the last 10 years. So I don't think that there's anything like that. I think this is a very good team that's going to start winning a whole bunch of ball games. And they have started. I mean, they've won 3 out of their last 4 since the Troy Tulowitzki arrival. Steve's in Port Perry. Hey, Steve.
Great call today, Michael.
Thank you.
Mike, jacked up. Can't wait till we start playing the Yankees. But I wanted to ask you, put your manager hat on. I don't understand the theory behind the shift. Or when they do the shift, are the odds in favor of the defense when they do it?
Of course, that's why they do it. Well, the odds are always in favor of the defense, right? You got to remember
correct.
That. Yeah. No, there's been no hitter in the history of baseball that's gotten that's been safe more than he's been out. But the shift, it's not something somebody just pulled out of thin air. There's plenty of hard data that shows, you know, spray charts that show where hitters hit the ball more often than not, and that's why you do it. And it's rather glaring when it doesn't work, and I don't know that it's noticed as much when it does. But, yeah, it definitely increases run prevention.
Yeah, I thought in today's game, you know, you just look at it and, you know, if you're batting 3 out of 10, you're a great hitter. So I would understand the shift, but it just...
What does that first thing have to do with the second thing?
Well, if you're batting 300, which is 3 out of every 10 hits, yeah, you're an amazing hitter. But with the shift, I just was curious about the odds of it for a manager to call it.
Oh, okay.
Is
so
it overwhelming right. when the shift's on? Is it, you know, 80%? It usually works.
I think like it probably said, does. Work about 80% of the time. I don't know the numbers, but again, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. It just has to be better, right? The original, the way that fielders are laid out across the field, it's basically the same way as it's been for 130 years, was because that was the way that they thought they could turn the most batted balls into outs, right?
Correct, yeah.
So with the more we're learning about the game and the more information we have and the more we're turning that information into good data that we can use, the more we're seeing that you have a greater chance of turning a batted ball into outs if you position your defense a different way with certain hitters at the plate.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Michael.
All right. You're welcome. I appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose it 7-6 to the Kansas City Royals. And, yeah, it's true. Eric Hosmer beat the shift with his RBI single in the eighth. That put the Kansas City Royals on top 6-5. If they were playing in a normal alignment right there, that's probably a ground ball to shortstop. But, again, the shift works a lot more often than it doesn't. Tom's in Waterloo. Hey, Tom.
How you doing? Hey, Mike, I was just wondering, maybe Gibby's keeping that extra man for that game tomorrow, Dickey, on short rest.
It's possible.
And he'll move up a position player on Monday.
It's certainly possible. I wish I had a better idea of who that fourth outfielder was going to be when they
Pompey.
Make a move. It's not going to be Pompey.
Okay, well.
Yeah, no, you don't bring up a 22-year-old to sit him on the bench.
Well, maybe, but... you know, he's got some speed. He can do some things. I don't know. I'm just a thought, Mike. But anyway, yeah. That was my thought earlier that I think one of them is going to go after Dickey tomorrow. I think he's just saving some innings just in case he doesn't go.
You may very well be right on that. We shall see.
Take it.
Appreciate the call. Thanks. Yeah, already Dickey on short rest tomorrow. And again, in his career, 6 starts on short rest. He's averaged just over 5 innings per start. So maybe. Maybe you do need some of that length in the bullpen. You know that tomorrow you've got Hawkins, you got Sanchez, you got Asuna. And you maybe even be able to come back with Mark Lowe. He said before the game that this year he's found that he feels a lot stronger and that he can go out, pitch 2 innings in one game and feel like he's fresh to come back for the next. He certainly wasn't good today, though... wasn't awful either. I mean, he gave up the home run to Zobrist. The Kane double was a ground ball. The Hosmer single was a ground ball. The Morales single was a ground ball. And they all just kind of found holes. So it wasn't like he was giving up line drives all over the place. He threw 25 pitches. Tough to bring him back tomorrow, and I don't know that you want to do that, but it's certainly possible. By the way, the Blue Jays have just announced that Monday's game against the Twins is a sellout, so David Price's debut will come in front of a packed house. Back to the phones we go as we continue our Blue Jays talk. Brian is in Toronto. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Mike. How you doing today?
I'm all right, thank you.
I love your show. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to know if you can clarify this for me. What does it mean when a player is designated for assignment? Like, does that mean they go down to the AAA, to the minors, but they could still be called up? I'm just wondering in the case of Carrera, because I'm a big fan of Carrera. I thought he did a lot of good things for the Jays, and I hope we can see him again up with the club again soon.
It's possible he comes back in 10 days to be that fourth outfielder. The deal is, when you designate a player for assignment, that means he is removed from the 40-man roster, and you have three options with that player over a 10-day period. You can either trade him, you can release him, or you can put him on outright waivers. One of those three things. Now, Ezekiel Carrera is going to go on outright waivers, which means that every team in the major leagues will have a shot to claim him on waivers for free. I mean, they'll have to take on the contract, which is nothing, but they'll have a chance to claim him on waivers, and if they do, that's it. He goes bye-bye. If nobody claims him on waivers, then he gets outrighted, which means he's off the Blue Jays' 40-man roster, but he's still property of the Blue Jays, and he would go down to Buffalo and play.
So he has 10 days to clear waivers. If nobody takes him, then he goes down to AAA.
You have 10 days to put him on waivers, 72 hours to clear once he goes on waivers, and I think he's going to go on. If he's not on him already, he'll be on him on Monday. I don't know if you can do it on weekends.
For the Jays to make, like, I thought Carrera is a good player, a valuable player for the Jays. I thought
he's not as good as Ben Revere.
True.
Right? You got a better left fielder. You improved on him, so Carrera goes. I mean, it was really the only move to make for that.
Okay. That makes sense. And I guess that Danny Valencia is probably the more valuable player, I guess people are saying, than the Carrera, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do, and I think a lot of people were really, really surprised by the Danny Valencia designation for assignment. Now, it's different for Valencia because he's gone on trade waivers and not outright waivers, or he will on Monday. Trade waivers are recallable, so you put a guy on those waivers, and if someone makes a claim, you can pull him back, but the Blue Jays, I don't think, are going to pull him back. If they pulled him back, then he would have to go on outright waivers and somebody else, and that same team would claim him and get him. So what the Blue Jays are hoping happens is that whatever team claims him, there are multiple teams that claim him, and that would give the Blue Jays a little bit of leverage. I mean, obviously, the team with priority would get the claim. Actually, I guess that doesn't give him any leverage at all. But what the Blue Jays are hoping will happen is someone claims him and they can make a trade and get something for him so they don't let him go for nothing.
So if a team claims him then, like say Danny Valencia, do the Jays are able to make a trade because they still have his rights? Like, so they would be able to make a trade?
Yes, they would have the right because they have the right to pull him back off of the waivers and keep him.
Uh-huh.
So they would be able to make a trade. And you know that the White Sox and the Rangers both really struggle against left-handed pitching and both imagine that they're in the race, so you would think that they would want to make a claim on him. You would think the Yankees would want to make a claim on him just because he's David Price's worst enemy as far as hitters are concerned. So there will be interest in Danny Valencia, and hopefully the Blue Jays can get something back rather than just letting him go for nothing.
Oh, great. Okay, I hope so, too. That would be great. A win-win for the Jays, I guess. So.
Well, the win-win for me anyway would have been being able to keep him because he's a valuable player, but they've decided not to do that. Hopefully they get something for him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they could still keep him too, like you said. They could still pull him back and keep him, and they would have to designate somebody else then, I guess, right?
No, because they designated him. If they pulled him back, they would then have to put him on outright waivers and lose him for nothing.
Oh, okay.
It's complicated stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we keep winning games, and let's hope that we make a push for the playoffs.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the call. We will continue to take your calls right up until the top of the hour. But right now, why don't we hear from the new guy, Mark Lowe. You never get a second chance to make a first impression, and Mark Lowe did not make a good first impression in his Blue Jays career. He got a shallow fly ball out the first batter he faced, and then homer, double, single, single, sacrifice, fly, blown, save. And a 5-4 lead turns into a 7-5 deficit. The Blue Jays wind up losing it 7-6. Here's what Mark Lowe had to say in his media scrum after the game.
Pitched his over, still played. Good pitch. What did you think of that?
Not a bad pitch for some guys. Not a good pitch to him. He's the ball coming into him. He's trying to go backdoor slider and kind of yank it over the middle of the plate. Right in the swing path. Just a bad pitch. in that situation.
You've had so much success this year. I mean, was there anything different about that inning?
I wasn't ahead of guys as well as I normally was. I was yanking my fastball in on a lefty a little bit. Just wasn't getting hit.
Mark, you haven't had that happen too much at all this year. Obviously, are you the kind of guy who, when you have a game like that, it lingers for a little bit, or are you able to
No, I mean, I have the reliever mentality. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. I'm going to get a brand new game, and going to have completely different results. So.
There you go. That's the reliever mentality. You let it go and a completely different result tomorrow. We certainly hope so. Rough day for Mark Lowe in his Blue Jays debut. We will talk to Mark and to Ben Revere as part of tomorrow's Blue Jays pre-game show on at noon Eastern here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on sportsnet.ca/590. And then we'll hook up with the rest of the country for the network pregame at 12:30. I'll have David Price for that. So an action-packed afternoon of pregame before the game, which starts at 107 R.A. Dickey against Edinson Volquez. Your calls continue all the way to 5 o'clock Eastern Time. It is Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
The Davis pitch line to left center field. Hit well. Back to the wall goes the left fielder looking up, and there goes another one. .23 for Bautista. And the Royals' lead is cut to 1-7-6.
But that was as close as the Blue Jays would get. They did get the tying run to third in the ninth inning. Troy Tulowitzki drew a pinch walk. Chris Colabello followed with a pinch hit single to get him to second. And Ben Revere beat out a double play ball. They didn't even try to make the turn. Put runners on the corners with two out for Josh Donaldson. But Donaldson grounded out to third for the fourth time today. He had a home run in between those. And, of course, the walk-off winner yesterday. And the Blue Jays fell 7-6 to the Kansas City Royals. The Jays are now a game and a half back of the Twins for the second wild card. Half a game back of the Orioles for second place in the AL East, 6.5 back of the Yankees, and they still have 13 to play against the New York Yankees this season. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones we go. Tony is in Brampton. Welcome to Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, sir.
I have a couple quick ones for you. The first is, I'm not sure how familiar you are with other markets, but it seems like our fans second-guess the managers more than anything else. Do you see that other places?
I don't think that that's specific to Toronto at all.
Oh, right.
You know, I occasionally would listen to a Mets post-game on the way back from a ball game, because you can sometimes pull in the New York radio station in your car. Which you shouldn't do, by the way. You should always listen to 590. But occasionally I would listen, and it was the same thing there. It's the same thing in Boston. It's the same thing. You know, everybody thinks that they know better. That's part of sports fandom. I mean, everybody thinks that they could manage this team. Everybody thinks they can be a GM. Everybody thinks that, well, I don't. Hopefully everybody doesn't think that they could actually play. But that's part of being a fan for a lot of people.
No, because I'd be curious. A curious experiment would be to have all these, you know, so-called experts chime in while the game is going on, while a pitching change is being made, and because sometimes it works out, and you don't hear anyone complain about it if it does, right?
Right.
But they always complain if it doesn't. What would they have done differently is my question. And I have a second comment or question, really. What's the difference between good hitting and bad pitching versus good pitching and bad hitting? And by that I mean, if everything was reversed and we won the game the way Kansas City won, we would have said it was clutch hitting and all that fun stuff.
That's right.
But it didn't. So why can't we ever say, instead of it being a bad pitching performance on our part, it was just great clutch hitting by the team with the best record in the league?
Because that's not the way it works. Because that's not how people project their feelings onto a game. Very obviously, you're quite right, that if the Blue Jays, like last night, for example, right?
Exactly.
Last night, the Jays rally for three runs in the seventh inning, and it was a great rally with four straight hits, and they tied the game. And you know, great job by Troy Tulowitzki, great job by Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista. Not Ryan Madsen was terrible. But the Kansas City people, the Royals fans watching that game, were saying, Ryan Madsen was terrible. Why didn't you use Kelvin Herrera?
That's
just
I'm
perception,
doing
right? You're right. Always going to perceive it through your lens. And so the Blue Jays' lens today is not Kansas City was good or the ground balls found some holes. It was Mark Lowe was awful and the Blue Jays' bullpen is terrible.
Okay, interesting. Because that to me was always something I've always wondered, because exactly what you said. In Kansas City, they're saying clutch hitting, great pitcher with an ERA of 1, I believe.
Yeah.
But so it doesn't have to be like he pitched awful. It's just they were just better on the day.
Well, you know, he said himself, and we heard it, that he didn't make a great pitch to Ben Zobrist. It wasn't where he wanted it, and Zobrist hit it out of the park, but Zobrist still hit it out of the park.
Yeah,
we see hitters miss mistakes all the time, and we see pitchers make good pitches that get hit all the time. Today was the Royals' time to knock Mark Lowe around.
Anyways, I want to just close off by saying I love the team, win or lose. I've been to a few games, and I will continue to support them. I love the moves that were made this trade cycle. I think we'll probably get to that wild card. I'm pretty confident we will.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Minnesota Twins at all. But we'll see when they get here for a four-game series. If they wind up splitting it and retaining whatever lead they have going into the series, assuming they have a lead, they could be tied by Monday, then good for them. But hopefully the Blue Jays can at least come out with a series win. A four-game sweep is a lot to ask, but hopefully they get off on the right foot with David Price pitching on Monday.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully we can go 9-4 against the Yankees. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, thank you. 9-4 would be swell against the Yankees. They're winning at close to that rate right now against New York before all these changes. The Jays are 4-2 against the Yankees this year, so that would translate to 8-4. But they got to play the games, and those games are the key for the Blue Jays this season, those 13 games. Blue Jays lose it today, 7-6 to the Kansas City Royals. Let's head back out west. Andrew in Vancouver, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on. What a game. What a game. So exciting to watch. I got to say, all the moves that AA made this week, it just seems like this team has now gone to the next level of excitement. And, I mean, obviously I'm sitting on my couch here in Vancouver watching the game, but, I mean, haven't seen the fans like that in a long time. And it was just, it was so good to see everybody up on their feet because it's so unlike Toronto to do that.
It really is. To see everybody standing and screaming when Troy Tulowitzki had a full count on him in the ninth inning, that was amazing to see. And that we haven't had it like that around here in over 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, looking at what AA has done this week, I mean, you really have to take your hat off to the guy. I mean, using all of these prospects as currency and hoarding pitchers over the last few years. And I know that there's people that are disappointed and feel like he's giving away the future. But, I mean, honestly, what are these people, you know, waiting for? This team is so, so amazing. And, you know, to not go for it this year would just be a huge mistake. And, I mean, I think that people really need to recognize the fact that, you know, this is the best team we've ever put on the field. And, you know, I've watched them all going back to 85, you know, against the Royals was probably one of the first memories I have of the Blue Jays. And, you know, there's never been a team like this. And I'm so excited to see, you know, how it's going to play out over the next couple months. And, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, this is what it's all about. I mean, baseball is entertainment, and we were getting the best bang for our buck. I mean, this is the most entertaining baseball I've watched in the last couple of days, and I just can't wait for the playoffs, and I'm hoping they're going to be there.
Yeah, I think we all do. We all hope they're going to be there. I appreciate the call, Andrew. And you know what? It's August 1st. So really, you have to say that the 92 and 93 teams are the best teams that the Blue Jays have ever assembled. But when you look at it from a pure who's doing what standpoint, I would say that the 1987 team might even have been better than either the 92 or 93 teams, and this team might be better than either of those teams. But what it comes down to is they have to get it done. 92 and 93 did that. Nobody else has. But this is a really, really, really good team. But they're still a game and a half out of a playoff spot right now. Way better than they were last week. Billy is in Markham. Hey, Billy.
How you doing, Michael?
All righty, go ahead.
Okay, Mike, first of all, I didn't like the lineup we rolled out there today. I understand guys need days off, but could we not maybe do it a little bit better where we, you know, one day Tulo and then the next day Martin and maybe go with I mean, I don't think it makes much of a difference. I would have liked to have seen, you know, just a little bit. You give the guys not on the same day off. You know, our better players. But
I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't want to be as strong as possible as often as possible. I mean, Deonner Navarro is not terrible.
No. I agree, Mike.
Right.
But Mike, the one thing that I don't think through all these trades and that and everything that we've done, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer on the line here. Okay, this is not.
But you're gonna be.
No. But hear me out, Mike. I think I got you know.
All right.
First of all, I think, and it hasn't been pushed enough. And I listened to Jeff Blair yesterday, and I just could not believe the comments coming out of his mouth about let's just sit back and enjoy David Price for 11, 12 starts. Mike, I could not disagree more. I think the basic foundation of this team to go forward, and I don't just mean win a wild card this year, but be like you were talking about earlier, the 80, we just didn't win the World Series in 92 and 93. We were there every year for 5-6 years before we finally got over the hump.
Yep.
But I think it is absolutely imperative, and I don't want to hear that we don't have the money. It is imperative to sign David Price.
It's not going to happen. Look, it's not going to happen until at least November, so I don't understand why. I agree with Blair completely. I don't understand why we would waste any energy talking about signing David Price. You enjoy this season. You watch what he's doing. You hope he pitches you to the playoffs.
Right.
And don't worry about that.
But, Mike, the point I'm trying to get to is, first of all, okay, so we have David Price, and let's say that he does walk.
Okay.
Now, Troy Tulowitzki, let's be fair, and I love Troy Tulowitzki, one of my favorite players, but he does have the same thing that happened when we signed Jose Reyes, when Jose Reyes was the best shortstop in the game, that he does have the propensity to getting hurt a lot. If he does get hurt and those hips start bothering him again, we almost have the same thing happen as when we made the trade for Josh Johnson and Reyes. And I agree with you 100% about letting the two guys go that we put on waivers today. I still cannot understand that move, Mike. I'm telling you, this looks like a great team, but this could blow up in our face if we don't. We have got to sign him, Mike. That's all I can say.
All right, Billy. I'm sorry. You know, it's almost like it doesn't matter to you what happens the rest of this year. You're getting so worried about signing David Price. If the Blue Jays win the World Series and David Price leaves, it doesn't matter if Troy Tulowitzki's head explodes on November 2nd and he never plays again and the Blue Jays have to pay him $100 million. What the Blue Jays are in here for, what they're trying to do, is win a championship. It's not about 2016. It's not about 2018. They still have Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, and Roberto Osuna. They still have their best young pitchers. I don't know why you would be so upset and so willing to ignore what's actually going on the field this year, because you're worried that they might not re-sign David Price. They're probably not going to re-sign David Price, and it doesn't matter. What matters is they have a really good chance to win a championship this year because they have David Price. I guess Billy left. For the life of me, I don't understand that. I mean, I know everybody's caught up in, well, will he stay, will he go? Who cares? I would love to have David Price here for the next 7 years. I don't know if I'd love to have David Price here for the next 7 years at $200 million or somewhere between $200 and $230 million. Regardless, it would be great if he stayed. But who cares? Talk about that in November, or talk about that when the Blue Jays get knocked out of the playoffs, if they get knocked out of the playoffs. But while he's here, enjoy the hell out of it, because this is the best team that there's been assembled in Toronto in over 20 years. And if you can't see that, then you should probably stick with the Leafs. Billy in Burlington, another Billy, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
All right.
Mike, I love your broadcasting. I think you do a great job play-by-play. But you got to listen to me because I know you're a staunch defender of Gibby.
Well, I think he's a good manager.
Well, I do too, but not after today. I think he absolutely handed the game away. The rap against Gibby is that he doesn't know how to handle pitching.
you know what John Gibbons' reputation is, Billy?
Go ahead.
It is that he is a phenomenal manager of a bullpen. That managing a pitching staff is the thing he does best.
There's no rap against
Gibby that he's bad at managing a pitching staff.
Really? Well, I'll tell you, that's what I've heard around the league. But in any event...
Around the league?
Around friends of mine in other cities.
Okay.
You got a manager that can't handle a bullpen. You're telling me that's his reputation. But what I'm calling about today is if you see a guy that's been traveling all day yesterday, Mark Lowe, from Seattle, he's exhausted getting here.
Yeah.
And you got a lights out 8th to 9th inning guy.
Right.
Sanchez and Osuna.
Who you've used 2 days in a row.
Yeah, and last night he threw 6 pitches and Osuna threw 5 pitches.
8 and 7, but okay.
Well, okay, close enough, right?
But okay.
Well, come on, that's nothing.
But look, you've used them 2 days in a row. So you're not using them again today. Sanchez is less than 2 weeks removed from coming off the disabled list. You have to be aware of that. The reason you got Mark Lowe is because he is a late-inning guy. These guys, I hate to tell you, fly around the country all the time. Most of them are on a plane every 3-4 days, and then they get a 10-day break or a 9-day break, and then they're on a plane again every 3-4 days. This is nothing new, nothing at all.
And you don't think
it's like saying don't use a reliever because you just got back from a road trip.
And you don't think he was exhausted after trying to get here yesterday?
No, trying to get here? What do you think, he's like running through airports?
They said it took him all day to get here. You know, it's a 5-hour flight from Seattle.
He wasn't in Seattle.
Where was he?
In Minnesota, I think.
Oh, I thought he came from Seattle. That's
right, again, these guys, I mean, that's no, absolutely not a reason to not use Mark Lowe.
But Mike, you're a brilliant guy. You're a great baseball
guy.
I've been a season ticket holder since day one.
Wonderful.
Let me ask you a question. How do you leave a guy in the 8th inning when he's in trouble and he gives up 4 consecutive hits and 5 base runners? Why would you leave him in if you're John Gibbons when you got LaTroy Hawkins, for example, if you don't want to use the other two guys, who's been dynamite, exemplary? Why would you leave the guy in to bury us? Let him pull him out when it's 5-5 and we win the game 6-5.
Mark Lowe's not, first of all, Mark Lowe has been far more dynamite than LaTroy Hawkins has been. You've watched LaTroy Hawkins for 2 innings, and LaTroy Hawkins has had 2 really good innings, and LaTroy Hawkins is a really good pitcher. Absolutely. Mark Lowe's been better this year. Mark Lowe gave up a home run that tied the game. You don't take him out right there, which is what you're suggesting you do. After 2 batters, you take him out. This is a guy who's given up 4 runs all year. He then gave up 3 ground balls. They all went for hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you've been watching baseball since before 1977, you get a ground ball, you did your job. It's about hard hit balls, and you can't control where those ground balls are hit. If they're not hit at infielders, they're not going to be out. The best thing you can do is get a ground ball. Mark Lowe got 3 ground balls.
So you don't think he was hit hard?
I don't think he was hit hard at all, except for the home run. Wow. Do you?
Yeah, I thought those ground balls got out of the infield in an absolute hurry. And I'm saying, what is Gibbons waiting for? He's given up 3 hits. Okay, so it was 6-5. We would have still got out of the game. We could have still won the game. Even going back to Burley when he got into trouble, he gave up 3 runs. I might have taken Burley out there.
Right, and you would have missed the 7th, the double play ball that he got, and then the 7th inning where he struck out 2 guys on 3 pitches. Look, the thing is, you can't manage in hindsight, and you can't take a guy out at the first sign of trouble every time. This isn't Game 7 of the World Series. You have to trust what they've done and what they're able to do. Lowe wasn't getting hit hard, except for the home run, very obviously, and he has been phenomenal this season. That was... game that the Blue Jays lost. That wasn't a move where John Gibbons should have panicked and rushed LaTroy Hawkins into the game in the 8th inning. Sorry. I mean, it's easy to blame the manager when things go wrong. Mark Lowe had a bad outing. Mark Lowe wasn't going 3-1 on everybody and getting knocked all around the ballpark and, oh my God, why haven't they come get him yet? Gave up 3 ground balls after the home run tied the game. Darren in Aurelia. Hey, Darren.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
All right, thanks.
Hey, question for you. Do you, now that you've acquired Price and Lowe, do you look to set up your starting rotation and bullpen based off the type of pitchers you have? Meaning, you know, Price a power pitcher, Dickey not so much. Do you change the way you set up the rotation for the remainder of the year?
You really can't.
And also in the bullpen, you have set roles in the bullpen now.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, you'd like to go Hawkins 7, Sanchez 8, Asuna 9, or Lowe 7, or whatever, but now you also have a little bit of breathing room so that when guys aren't available, you still have guys who are good, though Lowe got roughed up today. But you can't...
Yeah, but I look at Lowe's performance today, and I mean, he made one bad pitch, let's be honest. I mean, these guys who are calling you says, oh, whatever happened, he made one bad pitch, that's it. It's one outing, right?
That's right. It's one outing, and you hope that it stays at one outing. As far as turning the rotation around, you really can't do that. And these guys, you know, they need their 4 days rest between starts. They're using R.A. Dickey on short rest tomorrow. He's probably the only guy you can almost semi-comfortably do that with, but you can't really rejig a rotation in the middle of a season unless you've got like a week like they have in a couple of weeks, where there will be an off day Monday and an off day Thursday. Then you might be able to flip a few things around and skip guys, and then an off day the next Monday. The Blue Jays have a run where they only have 5 games in 8 days.
Yeah.
If you want to flip your rotation around there, you might be able to do a little bit of fancy dancing in there, but I don't think
you... Do you think it makes sense, though?
No, I don't think it makes sense. No, okay. Because, you know, if you want to set it up so that, like, Dickey pitches and then Price pitches, well, sometimes it's going to be against different teams, right?
Right.
So there's no point in doing that. You want to try to get your best starting pitchers on the mound as often as possible. That's, for me, that's the only goal.
All right. Well, thanks.
All right. Thank you. Blue Jays lose at 7-6 to the Kansas City Royals tonight. Taking your calls for another couple of minutes. Blair in Peterborough.
Hey, how are you, Mike? Thanks a lot. I agree with a couple things you said here, and that is that Price, absolute must for our team. Great pickup. And also, Lowe was not a bad outing for him. He didn't get hit hard, except for the one home run. I think it's a management loss, not a Lowe loss. If you look at the replays, I think the next batter hit a line shot right down first base. I mean, when did we stop playing first and third on the line in late innings?
When you don't have serious pull hitters at the plate. Yeah, Lorenzo Cain there, and he smacked the ball down the line the other way. I mean, Lorenzo Cain's a right-handed batter. I don't know why you would be on the line at first for Lorenzo Cain.
Well, you don't give up a double, you give up a single. I mean, that's the theory, right? The go-ahead run.
But you have a greater chance of not being where the ball is hit if you put the first baseman on the line with Lorenzo Cain at the plate.
Yeah, but how many times do you hear it? First and third, play the line.
Yeah, when you give up the single. But why give up the single when you don't have, like, you're...
No, let's give up a double and give up the game.
You're increasing your odds of giving up a hit, period, right, if you play on the line for a guy who's not likely to pull. You're increasing the odds of giving up a hit. You're decreasing the odds of giving up a hit, which is the goal. The goal is to get the guy out, right?
The goal is not to let them...
No. The goal is to get the guy out. Not? Is it or is it not?
No, the goal is not to let them score again.
And the best way to not let them score again is?
Not let them get to second, where they can drive them in.
And it's even better. It's even better if you don't let them get to first, right?
How did that work out for us today?
It didn't work out for them today.
Right, exactly.
No, not right exactly. Look, when a guy, if a guy has a 10% chance of hitting a ball down a line, then you play in normal position because there's a much greater chance that he's going to hit the ball to where your fielder is. It's all about positioning your defense so that you can turn the most batted balls into outs. If he sneaks a double down the line the other way, you tip your cap. These are things that are going to happen sometimes, but you're giving yourself a much greater chance of getting the out by putting your defense in a different place.
Sure. I tip my hat in early innings, not in late innings. I play for the win. I'm at home. I'm going to give up a single. I'm not going to give up a double.
Yeah, I'm trying to not give up a hit. I mean, I understand that these are dogmatic things that baseball people, especially older baseball fans, have heard for years and years and years. You guard the lines in the eighth and ninth inning. You bunt when you have runners at first and second and nobody out and all this stuff. But, you know, the more we learn about the game and the more data we understand, we see that that's not really the best way to win games. So, no, I'm not guarding the first baseline with a right-handed hitter up in the eighth inning against a right-handed power pitcher. I'll guard it at third, but not at first. Thanks for all the calls. Back at noon tomorrow for Blue Jays pregame, then 12:30 network pregame. We'll hear from all the new Jays that we haven't heard from before. Thanks for listening. See you then.